Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Jordan Hawkins Podcast. Yes, you heard that correctly. We've changed the name from The Maker's Grind to the Jordan Hawkins Podcast, and it feels really weird to say my name as the title, but I think it fits best. I'm really one to just start something and then figure it out as I go, and that's definitely what this podcast has been, and I just found myself at a place where I was really meeting people and finding people through this journey that I really felt that I wanted to interview and that they were intriguing, interesting people that I wanted to learn from, but they didn't really fit into the box of a creative or someone that would be on the Maker's Grind podcast. And so I'll definitely still be interviewing a lot of artistic and creative people, but at the same time, we'll open it up to all different types of things because really, as someone who creates things or runs a business or aims to live life at a higher level, there's so many things that surround that. And so I think there's so many types of people that we can learn from. I took a month off of social media and it's been very refreshing. And the more I get away, the more I want to be away and the more I crave it. And so it's so funny because I never thought that that would be me, but I've become more aware of my surroundings, who I am. And I've just been on a journey throughout this past year of my life of becoming more aware of myself and getting into my own head, which is sometimes a scary place for a lot of us to go. So in this particular episode, we talk a lot about God and spirituality as well at times. So if you're not a spiritual person or not a religious person, that's totally fine. I'm just so thankful that each and every one of you has taken the time to listen, your valuable time to listen to the podcast today. And I hope that you leave this conversation encouraged and inspired, and I hope you're able to take something away. I definitely learned so much from talking with my friend Hayden Jacobs, so let's listen in. I'm usually looking for unique people that are doing something different. Hayden is both of those things, and as I said, he's a student at Charleston Southern University, and Hayden, you can tell us a little bit more about yourself.
I am a student at Charleston Southern University. I'm currently a senior. I'm an excited senior.
Woo.
Jordan's excited here.
We've had a lot of espresso today.
He's bouncing.
You're a senior.
I'm a Christian studies major and a history minor and enjoying life in Chucktown, USA.
And so one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on is you have a very unique perspective on something, but also I just feel like a lot of people within their careers or even as students in whatever industry they're in is, and even just living life, is the reality that we're like intaking a lot of information. We're seeing a lot, we're reading a lot, we're watching a lot every day. It's like coming at us in a million different directions. And sometimes I wonder, like, how do we pull ourselves, can we even pull ourselves back enough to subjectively look at our work or look at our life or look at our purpose and say, like, where am I headed? What am I doing? Like, am I living this full life? Am I spiritually whole, or am I just constantly living through other people? And I think one of those things that obviously takes a lot of our attention is social media. And so I've learned a lot from you on this, and so I wanted to hear your perspective. And so when did you officially get off of social media?
I will be social media free. It'll be 3 years this October. Yeah.
And so that's like not just I deleted the app off my phone, but like,
no,
I don't exist on, like, you don't have exist.
I am in a black hole. No one knows where I am.
You don't exist in social media. And for me, you know, we can kind of start with this, but what were some things that you were feeling when you first, or what pushed you to the point of getting to that place? And of course we know this is not for everyone, but this is a perspective. So just be open-minded to learning something from this and not just thinking that we're trying to be anti-technology.
Well, and that's the first thing that I want to say. I guess I have two things to answer that question. The first thing that I want to mention is I don't hate social media. I'm not out to get it. I'm not out to use any platform that I have to reject it or to say that it's from the devil or anything crazy like that. I think social media is an amazing tool for the world we live in. I mean, you know, you use it for your business. The church that I'm involved with, we use it, you know, and so it's an amazing thing. I just want to say that is I'm not out to bash it or anything.
Okay, good. I don't have to get rid of my account.
But okay, yeah. Secondly, though, I want to be very transparent as to why I got rid of social media. And it was because, now I think transparency brings lots of freedom. And when you're transparent, you can experience freedom. But I had a pornography addiction, for 6 years. And, I'm not afraid to say that. But, it was an addiction that was in my life for 6 years or so. And the outlet was social media. It was through social media, through Instagram, through Twitter, those things. And it was an addiction. And so that's the reason why I, got rid of social media and moved on. And I just decided that it wasn't for me in my current stage of life. So not bashing it, not hating on it, just not for me.
Yeah. Thank you for your honesty. And I feel like maybe we could touch on this, but I guess I wanted to mention too, like during that 6 years and during that time, you were very active in your church and you were very active, a active follower of Christ. And so by no means was this your, redemptive road to salvation, that getting off of social media brought you to God. You were already serving God. You were already serving your church, but you kind of felt like you had this thing that was maybe holding you back a little bit. Right.
Right. Yeah. It was like if you're a tour guide for, Yellowstone National Park, and you have tons of people that come to your tour that want to go see, all the great things of the park, but yet you have this massive thorn in your foot, in your boot that you have laced up. And you can't effectively be a tour guide of Yellowstone National Park if you can't walk. If you have an issue where your thorns in your foot and it's causing you pain, it's causing you, to limp, and you can't do your job fully effectively. I'm not to say that my social media issues were, something that God couldn't handle. It's nothing that he stopped, it wasn't stopping him from using me. But it did affect my effectiveness, and it affected me spiritually, obviously with my relationship with the Lord, and so it was a thorn that I had to remove.
And I think some people say, and I've done this before, but like you can add some insight to this, but praying to God that God would take something away, or praying that God would lessen a temptation for you, or praying that God would change our feelings. But where is the line between, clearly you've seen this because you took some action yourself, but sometimes it's our part, and sometimes it is God's supernatural power that will come in, but there's definitely our part too, right?
Yeah. And I think especially with addiction, most of the times, it is the power of God that changes that, and whether that's something that you believe or not, or hold on to, I believe that it is the power of God that takes chains off of addiction, but yeah, like you were saying, there is definitely a, aspect of you doing, putting yourself in the right position. And this is not in terms of salvation or anything. My salvation came from Jesus alone, but in terms of, my problem, that I felt that I had to take steps, to overcome that and to get that out of my life.
Someone might be struggling seeing the connection between, well, how does just scrolling Instagram, affect me getting envious of people, or affect me lusting, or affect me becoming jealous? All I'm doing is scrolling and seeing other people's pictures. Is it sometimes a little short trigger, that's like...
Oh, for sure, yeah. I think, well, with me... Even aside from pornography for a second, in high school, or when I was younger, or whatever, there are issues that come up with, okay, well, these people don't like me, or I'm not like these people. I'm not, I don't have this skill set that this certain person has that I want to be, or whatever. And as you scroll through Instagram, yeah, you're intaking information, but you are seeing how everyone else is different than you, and you're seeing how what you don't have, and you're seeing about what you could have and what you maybe think you should have.
In life, I think something I was thinking about too is a lot of times I think we think and we operate as if life is a sprint and that we're going full speed and we've got to go head on in every area of our life. And sometimes I think that is the very thing that leads us to burnout. And that's what leads us to fall or leads us to struggle deeply is that, like you said, if we don't take care of that thorn in our foot, and we can move forward. It's just how long is that sustainable? And so I want you to speak to, because I feel like the world says, if you want to be an effective communicator, Hayden, if you want to be a pastor and a speaker and a thought leader, well, then you need to be putting your thoughts out there, and you need to be on Facebook, and you need to have an Instagram account, and you need to be seen, and you need to be promoting yourself. And so what feels like taking steps back to the world, I feel like if life were a sprint, you'd be behind. But life is so much more of a long distance race, and it's more of not how you start, but how you can sustain yourself. So I'm very proud to be your friend and to see that you've just kind of gone against the culture and just said, hey, like, I'm not going to go this route that seems faster, because I know that when I get there, I want to be a whole person, and I want to have clean thoughts, and I want to be able to effectively do what God has called me to do. So what has it felt like, and you can even be honest with some of the struggles, what has it felt like taking steps back from what might seem like, you know, a race that's a sprint?
Yeah, I guess I'll start with the struggles. You know, it is hard when you feel like I get rid of Instagram or Twitter or whatever. It is hard because I feel like sometimes I do miss out on some, you know, relevant, you know, things that happen in our society, in our culture, in our world. I feel like I miss out on, you know, even like, you know, people at school will be talking about a video that they've seen, you know, on Twitter or something that's really, really funny, and they're all talking about it, and, you know, I can't relate. I didn't see the video. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened in the video, you know, and so I guess I do miss out on little things like that. I just don't think, for me personally, though, those things are that important to me. You know, I feel like that I can still engage with my friends, with people on my campus, with people, you know, that I meet in coffee shops or just everyday places. I can still engage with them. I can still laugh. I can still, you know, be relevant with those people, even though I don't know this video or this, you know, comedian or whatever. You know, I still feel like I can be relevant, but I guess that would be a struggle. I guess that could be an insecurity, you could maybe call it, that I might have about it. And especially in my field of work, you know, in ministry, you want to try to connect with people the best possible way, you know. And so I guess I would say there is an insecurity there of connection, you know. And will I be able to connect with these people the best possible way? Or am I going to miss out on something? Are they going to know things that I don't know about our culture or something like that? But I do think there's a misconception, because you don't, you know, yeah, like you said, I like how you put it. If it were a race, I would be behind, and I would agree with that. But I guess the misconception is, you know, I don't need to be putting out my voice. I don't need to be putting out my opinions into the world, you know, just so that I can have more following or more, you know, influence or whatever in other places. I think the misconception is that God has called me to Charleston right now, you know. Not just Charleston, he's called me to Charleston Southern University. That's where I am. He's called me to my friends there. He's called me to my family there. He has called me, you know, to the people that he has placed directly around my life. I try not to get so overwhelmed with the thought that I may be missing out on influencing people in Europe or, mm-hmm. you know, in Colorado or wherever they may see an Instagram video that I post. But I really want to focus on where God's placed me right now, you know, and that's in Charleston. So if I'm doing the best if I'm doing the best thing that I can do, if I'm trying my best to influence those that are directly around me, then I feel like I'm being successful. And, you know, because people that may see a video that I were to post one day, I may never meet those people ever. But I'm with these people in Charleston every day of my life, you know. I get to do life with them. I get to live with them. I get to, you know, see how their life's changing, see what they're struggling with. And I get to be that voice in their life. And that's something that's so amazing, is even if it's just one person, That's an amazing, an amazing thing that I get to be a part of.
I love that. If someone, if someone were to just give up social media tomorrow and just, or just spend the next week not on it, what are some things that you think they would notice, or some, you know, what are some things that you just think they would notice about life, or that you've noticed?
I think the main thing they would notice is themselves more, because that, and that's something that's been huge, like transforming to me, is in my line of work and in pastoring, the pastoring world, you know, it's easy to follow, you know, big name pastors all over the world, all over the country, that, you know, are on social media, that have this massive influence, that seem like really awesome guys, you know, and as a communicator, you know, it's scary because you're up on a stage or you're in front of people or wherever, and you're communicating, you know, not only God's word, but you're also trying to be, you know, relevant. You're also trying to you know, communicate your worldview. And so, you know, you have this feeling of you got to do a good job, you know, and so how do you do a better job? Well, sometimes you look at other people, see how they do it, you know, and see, and it's what was easy for me when I had social media, as I was kind of growing up into this calling that God placed in my life and into pastoring and preaching, it was real easy to look at certain pastors that I followed on Instagram and, you know, and obsess over how they did things, you know, over, mm-hmm. obsess over how they preached, their style of preaching, how they interacted with people, you know, even things like to how they dressed. The way that I'm going to be hating, you know, the way that I'm going to be how God has made me to be, is for me to focus on me. Nothing selfish about that at
no,
all.
No, not at
you
all.
Know. But it's to focus on how God's made you to be. So I think that to the person that's, you know, thinking about dropping social media or getting rid of, taking a break for a little while, whatever it may be, you know, if you're a creative person, you know, and you're trying to figure out, you know, what am I supposed to create? How am I supposed to be the best that I can be? How can I, you know, have the most influence that I can be? And my challenge to you would be, is you need to examine yourself. You need to examine what you were made to be. You know, don't stop looking at how others do things. Stop looking at how, you know, this person over there, you know, makes those videos. This person over there makes this music this way. You know, this person dresses like that. You know, and I still wouldn't say that I know you know who I am technically.
You've been on social media longer than anyone that I know.
Yeah,
so.
And I'm not claiming expertise to this, but I think that when I really discovered who God wanted me to be as a pastor, as a preacher, is when I dropped social media.
Hmm.
You know, and when I stopped caring about how this pastor preached this way, or how, you know, this pastor sounded like this when he said this phrase, or whatever it is. And I really grew into what God wanted me to be, I think. And still growing into what God wants me to be. Still developing and still trying to figure all those things out, you know. You know, there's definitely not a worry of, am I good enough? I don't think that I have that worry anymore. I don't think that I have this insecurity of you know, you know, am I good enough? You know, do I match up? You know, all those things. I think those things kind of are silenced.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were talking on the phone one day and you said something to the extent of like that you haven't felt a lot of jealousy or envy, or because you're just kind of like in your circle and you're not really seeing a lot of what's going on like outside.
Yeah.
Of that.
Yeah. I don't think jealousy has been a thing that's been in my life at all. Envy, comparison, that's a huge one, you know, and kind of what I've already mentioned, but I'm not worried about comparing myself to other pastors, other people. You know, it's you will be most effective when you are you, you know, when you are who you were created to be. And you cannot be effective by imitating other people and trying to be what other people are and what other people are doing. And you will not be the most effective. And what's funny is the other misconception is, you know, and the world even says this, is that, you know, if you imitate what other successful people are doing, then you will also be successful, you know.
Mm.
But the problem is that you are not them. Yes. You know, you are not the person that became successful. And so you may see the end product of what they did, but you did not see the behind the scenes work that they put into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know their work ethic. You don't know what they went through. You don't know their tendencies, their personality. You don't know, you know, what their strengths, their weaknesses. And you have completely different strengths and weaknesses than those people. You know, you have a completely different personality, probably. You have a completely different, you know, way to go about work or work ethic, whatever it may be.
And what good is it to gain all these things if we lose ourself in the process?
That's right.
You know, our soul, our... Because then there's no rest, and you can have everything you want, not be at rest, not be at peace. And one place that I love all of that, but one place I find myself recently, I've been analyzing myself a little deeper the past few months, but it's a daily basis too. I think I either, and I can kind of feel when I'm there, and I have to really think, all right, where am I? I'm either living life in two ways. I'm either trying to please people or trying to please God. And I think a lot of my problems or my successes flow through those two things. And so when I'm trying to please God, I don't care as much about if everyone hears me, if everyone sees me. If I'm trying to please people, I feel slave to that. You know, my success feels completely tied to other people's opinions when I'm in a place of pleasing people. So when I wake up in the morning and I submit myself to God, I'm pleasing God, but if I wake up another morning, that's what I'm saying, it's a daily basis, and I've slipped out of that and something doesn't feel right, I'm like, I think I'm like trying to please people and it doesn't feel good. And it's not to say that there's not a reality of needing to make people happy on some level if you own a business or have other types of creative work. Like, you need an audience, obviously, but I think in those two realms comes to social media for me, which is, we all as humans in this culture have an extreme desire to be seen and to be heard. So there's the side of it that we're consuming a lot of other people's content, and that's not good for us. The second part of that is we also desire to be putting ourselves out there so that other people can see us and other people can hear us. So for me, I feel like when I slip into pleasing people, that's where I go. And so if I'm trying to please God, that's a better place, but when I'm in that place of I feel like I need to be seen or I feel like I need to be heard, something's lacking inside, you know? There's a hole, there's something where something's not right with God, because I feel like if everything was right with God, then I wouldn't be feeling that uneasiness of like needing to get myself out there.
Yeah.
You know, I think if I was in my place with God, I think I would be at rest. And the times that I am with Him, I feel like Him hearing me is all I need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And I agree with that. And I think the struggles that it did provide, you know, within me, I feel like that it was affecting my time with God. You know, it was affecting my, you know, my attitude of, you know, do I want to please men or do I want to please God? And, you know, so yeah, I mean, that's.
And even if, say, someone's listening and they're not a spiritual person, I think if you even take religion or spirituality or Christianity, whatever, out of the mix, I think you can be a more whole person when you're not connected to everybody else all the time. You know, you can be more aware of what you're doing and who you are. And God is definitely, I think, the extension, you know, of that and the completion of that. But I think even if we take that out, it's like, human beings that are constantly connected all the time are not, I feel like it's impossible to be uniquely you. And so I have friends, and a lot of people are probably listening to this and they're like, hey, I use social media for my business, or I'm a social media person for another company, or, you know, I use it for my job or my art or whatever. And I think like that's a great excuse, and it's an excuse that I've used a lot, but it then doesn't give me permission to spend every hour on it or every 30 minutes on it. Like, saying that I have to do it for my job might give me permission to have it, but I don't think it gives me permission to let it consume me. Mm-hmm. So there's the side of getting rid of all of it if you feel like you're at a place of doing that, whether it be for temporary or for a long time, but there's also the side of just limiting it, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, just because you need it for work, or just because you need it for, you know...
Or some people may just be sitting there thinking, I can't give it all up. Yeah. Maybe they're just stuck in their head.
I think that's fine. I think that's fine. You don't have to give it all up. And that's why I said that from the beginning, is I'm not out to destroy social media. I think there's great parts of it. But I do think there is this huge emphasis of consuming, you know, and consuming it and letting it consume you. I think there's just a lot that's tied to it. You know, there's lots. I think that if you struggle with insecurities, you know, I think social media has a huge tie to that. I think that if you're not content with where you are in life, you know, if you can't, you know, settle somewhere, you can't, you know, kind of throw your anchor out and anchor down somewhere, and you feel like you're not content with anything, I think social media has a huge tie to that, you know. And
social media makes our world bigger, so therefore it strengthens all those other places of insecurity, mm-hmm. whether it be lust, comparison, people that deal with like as deep as suicide and things like that. It's all just incited to a deeper level because your world of things you already compared in your day to day, you already felt not good enough in your day to day, just got a whole lot bigger, and it basically just made it even more of a problem. Someone said along those lines, I'm going to butcher this probably, but you can't compare yourself to your neighbor unless you started where they started,
yes,
with what they started with.
Right.
You know, like you can't compare yourself to someone else unless you started right where they were with the money and the success and the influence that they had. And so I do that all the time on social media. But I think for me, finding it's been not necessarily getting rid of it altogether, which I could definitely see the benefits of that for sure. Or if I just eventually got to a place where I could have someone to manage it for my business and not have to do it, how much more could I work on my business if I wasn't working in it? That's a phrase people use all the time, you know. If someone else was posting, how much better would my creation be if I wasn't focused on the distribution of things? And so for me, sometimes it looks like taking 2 hours away from my phone and going to walk in the park, or, you know, taking at night, going to read a book or watch something beneficial as opposed to scrolling Instagram. So maybe it looks like, you know, for some people, not fully getting rid of it, but just creating spaces in the day of like that uninterrupted time. I think it was this like a neurosurgeon or it was somebody who studied the brain, and they just said like most humans don't even have like 16 minutes a day of silence. And like that, just taking 16 minutes a day, she had a statistic that basically said how it would just drastically change the way you see yourself and the people around you if you really had like 16 minutes of uninterrupted time. So I don't think that it has to start with totally getting rid of it, but I think, as for me, it's been these small little pockets of time alone with myself, and it's made me crave more of that, just having a little bit of it. And I was just having a conversation with God like a couple of weeks ago, and it was as if he just spoke and said like, if I can get you alone with you long enough, I can do some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Like if I can get you in your head with you, I created you. If I can get you alone with you, I can do some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And so me and God can do some cool stuff. But for some reason, I'm always thinking that I've got to have this person, or I've got to have this connection, or I've got to network with this person, this, and this in order to have success. And of course, networking is a thing. But I just think sometimes God's just sitting there going, hey, you're telling me that you're single and you're lonely, or you're telling me that you're ready to be married and you're lonely, or you're telling me that you're divorced and you're lonely, but I'm telling you that I'm here wanting to talk to you. And it's just, it's kind of funny to think that, especially for people that are followers of Christ, to think that we have to look anywhere else mm-hmm. for that success to happen. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's encouraging to see you doing what some people would say is taking steps back and being able to just say, hey, like, what good is it if I get to that point of success or that point of my career if I'm not whole and ready to sustain it when I get there?
Well, and we wonder why we can't hear God's voice sometimes. You know, we wonder why we are lost in direction of life. And it's because we don't sit in silence and we don't listen, you know. And if your whole life is consumed by what other people are doing, then you'll never know where you're supposed to go in life. There's an aspect of that we have lost, you know, as a culture. Of silence and of solitude. And
I think Jim Carrey posted something a while back that said, which he had this amazing acting career and then just totally went off the wall and just started painting all day and not talking to anyone. And he basically just said, like, I wish, he said, I wish everyone could get everything they wanted so they could just see that it's not what they want, you know. Like, he's like, I wish everyone could be the most famous actor with all the money they want. I think you just, you know, a lot of really successful people just tend to level off and, like, start, you see a lot of very wealthy people or very successful people just begin to have this, you know, philanthropist life of giving back because they've achieved what the world would say is success and realize, hey, it's not really what I do for me.
Yeah.
And so, great segue, if I don't say so myself, to what we do for others. And I wanted to talk about this because since you've been in college as a student, you started in community outreach in downtown, and I wanted to talk to you about that. And I think it applies to the social media thing because I think you pulling back off social media has made you more aware of your community and more aware of your friends and your life. So I'm not going to say that that's what caused you to do this, but I love that you're probably more aware of what God was speaking to you to be able to start this ministry. So tell us about this.
Well, it's called Urban Charleston, and we are a group of college students that we go downtown every Friday night, which is an interesting night to go downtown. That's when it begins to liven up a little bit, and especially on at night. And it would seems like it would be an impossible night to tell people about Jesus, but that's why we go, because God is the God of the impossible. But
I got chills.
But so yeah, it's called Urban Charleston, and it's been cool how God's just connected us to people and networked us. Without social media, I do say, He has connected me to several people, and even connected me to a woman that lets us use her house downtown. Mm-hmm. You know, and so what's cool is just the Lord just put it on my heart after I got back from a mission trip one time and a couple years ago, and when I was a sophomore in college, and put on my heart that we need to be doing more, you know, more outreach, more, you know, more going down places, going not just downtown, but going everywhere you go in life and talking, getting to know people, building relationships, and you know, but having purpose behind those relationships, and not just getting to know people just because you think they're cool, or that we think they're cool, but because we have a message of life, you know, we have a message that changes your entire life. It's changed my entire life. It's continued to change my life. And so I want to share that message with people. And so that's our goal. And when we go downtown for Urban is to tell people about Jesus, to meet people. You know, yeah, we do feed homeless people. Sometimes we do give out things, you know, we do meet college students from all over, but, you know, that's our one goal, is just to talk about Jesus with them.
I love that. And so when, you know, there were other ministries going on at your college and other organizations and other churches doing things in the community, I know, but for you, I just love that as a college student, you just took it upon yourself. And obviously you have a team now that helps you, but, and you guys all go together, but it was something inside of you that you know, God brought forth and allowed you to kind of lead the movement. But it's just cool to see, like, a college student in which, you know, no one's expecting you to do that. No one's telling you have to do this, but just that it was something that you felt in your heart and that you haven't self-promoted and you haven't, you know, put yourself out there a lot, but God's just given you those connections. And it's just cool to see, you know, taking the reins on these things of, like, people need help and people are always going to need help. And so you're not changing the entire world. None of us are, but we're all doing our part, and mm-hmm. that's the body, you know. Yeah. I love that. And I think back to social media, and it's not just social media, it's phone usage, it's and everything that has to do with technology. But when we're away from it, I think we're so much more aware of everything.
Our, you know, our vision statement is dare to dream, you know, and this goes perfectly along with what we're talking about on this episode, is, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in your life right now, you know, doesn't matter the state of your current circumstances, you know, we believe that we're supposed to dream, you know, and dream about how God can change you on the inside, but also use you on the outside, you know, and that there is no pit that is too deep, you know, for Jesus to reach down and pull you out of. And so that's why we say dare to dream, because we want you to dream big. You know, we believe in dreaming. And And I guess my question is that if you're consumed with what other people are doing, you know, if you're consumed with how other people's lives look, if you're consumed with, you know, what you think you should be, you know,
where you think you should be.
Yeah. Or where you think you should be or whatever. You know, then how are you going to dream effectively? You know, how are you going to dream exactly, you know, how God wants you to be, you know? And
I've always said recently, especially to myself and just journaling, is God doesn't want a better version of me. He just wants me. Mm-hmm. And once he gets me, he'll do all the change that he wants to do. But I think a lot of us feel like, you know, hey, I can't start. I'm not ready to talk to God, you know?
Yeah, and that's exactly why we say Dare to Dream, because we believe that you are, you know, we believe that you are ready to talk to God. We believe that you are ready to start, you know. If you're in a stage of life where you feel like, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, keep going, you know, keep plugging, and have the faith that he can change you and transform you.
I love that. And I think without a doubt, there's connectivity is important, and connectivity is always useful, as with anything, being beneficial can also be destructive. And so there's no doubt that it can benefit us in a lot of ways to be connected, but there's also the reality that sometimes as an artist or creative or person pursuing their life's purpose or career, it's that there might be an element of unplugging in order to be able to connect to the source. And I think you look at Jesus, like, he had this incredible ministry and miracles, just ridiculous miracles, crowds everywhere, but like, we see him just retreating back to be with the Father. He didn't going to the wilderness, going to, you know, like, there's just a couple times in scripture where I'm almost laughing because I've read it in a new way of like, they're like wondering where Jesus is, you know?
Do you think Jesus would have had Instagram?
That's a loaded question. I don't know. I think he was always seen, but never obsessed with being seen. I think he was always heard, but never, I don't know. He never seemed to like run towards the hype or the crowd, but it was always there. So I think there's that element of like, God will promote us sometimes. It's hard for me to think that if I believe that I can't take a week off social media without my life being deeply affected, maybe I'm more tied to it than I think. And also I don't have as much faith in something else, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's tough. It's, someone said, you don't know how tied you are to something until you have to let it go. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that quote like rocks me. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so good. Cause you don't, I mean, you give it up, then that's when you know how tied to it you were, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so some people thinking, hey, I can't give it up because my success depends on it, or I can't even begin to take steps back from it because my success depends on it, I would argue that you can't afford not to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say that I think that it's not going to affect my success at all. And I guess we'll look in 10 years and see if that's true, you know. But I don't think it's going to affect my success at all. I think that this is exactly what the Lord wanted for my life. You know, I think that he's orchestrated this, and you know, and so I don't think that I'm losing it all. You know, I think it's a win-win. So that is an aspect of faith that you just mentioned, you know, which is super true. You know, there is faith in it. And
I think one thing people struggle with, even me at times, is I think that people struggle with it. It all doesn't make sense, and it can't always all be reasoned with, you know, mm-hmm. faith. It can't always add up. It can't always. A very intelligent person struggles with, it doesn't make sense that I would have the most peace in the most chaotic situation.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense that I would have this faith and optimism in a situation that seems to be so dark. Is there an element of faith that just sometimes we can't wrap our minds around, you know?
Well, I think just like in Matthew 18, disciples walk up to Jesus and they ask him, who is the greatest? They ask him the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus responds, and this is not the first time, but Jesus responds by asking a child to come over in the midst of them. And he points to the child and says, if you cannot become like this child, then you will not be great in the kingdom of heaven. You know? And And what's so compelling about that chapter and about that passage of scripture is, you know, they're all reasoning. They're all using reason and intelligence of their adulthood. However, you know, the disciples are probably not that old in the moment. They're probably teenagers or maybe early 20s, using reason and intelligence, and they're trying to decipher and discover who is the greatest by what they've accomplished, by how smart they are, by how much they know about scripture, whatever it may be. And Jesus shuts them all down by pulling a child in front of them and says, if you're not like this child, which, what is a child? A child is fully dependent on his parents in life. A child cannot make it in this world without a guardian. And he says, if you don't have the faith like this child, you know, then no, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, you know. And so that's why I think people have such a struggle with reason and intelligence, because they think faith doesn't make any sense. How can you just have faith and everything just work out, you know?
But there's some level of faith where I feel like I'll always have rest in God, but there'll be a few things that I might just never fully get.
Yeah, and those are things that you will maybe never get and understand, and that's true. And like Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, you know, for the secret things are for God, but the things that have been revealed to us are things that we should be talking about, things that we should express.
And that curiosity, that drive to understand deeper in a deeper way is more positive than we think. Yeah. You know, that lack of understanding sometimes leads us to a place of searching and asking God for more, you know?
Yes. And and I just think that faith is so real. It's so true. You have to have it. It has to be like a child, you know. Your faith has to be like a child sometimes. Everything's not going to make sense, and you can't reason with everything, which is hard for a lot of people to understand. And even in my world, in my realm, at college, you know, in the university, even within my major, you know, a lot of people struggle with, you know, reason and intelligence, and you know, they think it's not possible because it doesn't scientifically make sense, but if you're looking at it that way, it'll never make sense. So,
yeah, I love that. Well, was there anything else that you wanted to add about all this?
I love your glasses, by the way.
Thank you. Well, I admire you as a person, and you've been my closest friend, without a doubt, and we've been through a lot, which usually the depth of experiences often brings people closer together. So I appreciate your friendship and always just being for me, but also being the person that's not afraid to tell me the truth, and we all need that in our life. So super proud of you. What?
You can't get rid of me.
I'm super proud of you. That is true. I'm telling you, there's certain people in life, if you kicked them, they wouldn't go away. But, and I'm thankful for that, because God sent those people. And so I admire you and all that you're doing. And I've not heard, I think we would struggle to find someone that's got a crossword or a negative word about Hayden Jacobs. And I think it's because you truly are aware of your surroundings and you do love people. You're not perfect. We're not supposed to worship people, but I do honor you and the person that you are, and it challenges me daily. So I think people can take away from this and maybe not become you, because I don't think they should become you. Probably won't be good at being you. I won't be good at being you. But I think we can all look at it and say, hey, maybe I'm not fully aware of, like, or maybe I'm not even close to aware of what's going on in my life. And the world's not going to end if we don't respond to that text in 2 minutes.
That's right.
If it was an emergency, they'd call.
That's right. And if they do, maybe you should answer it.
I want to thank my friend Hayden Jacobs for being on the show today and for being so open and honest about his journey. It was really refreshing just to hear someone who's living a different way and who's living at a different pace. And it really challenged me to not get rid of social media, but to just create more time in my day and create more space in my life for me to think openly with myself and with God. And so I want to thank you for listening as well, and for always sharing this with people. It means the world to me. I don't make any money from this podcast, but I do it because I care and because I want to give back to so many people that have invested in me over the years. So these conversations are just as much for me to learn as for you guys. So subscribe, leave us a review, and as always, feel free to contact me on Instagram at Jordan_visuals. Just send me a DM or email me at Jordan@jordanvisuals.com. questions, future input for the podcast, it's all welcome. I'd love to hear from you.